I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and God has given me a victory over an addiction to pornography. My name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
So the old me, this is my testimony of a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ, during which he always walked with me, but I did not always walk with him. And James 4:5 says, "Do you think the scripture speaks to no purpose when it says he jealously desires his spirit which he made to dwell in us?" And during long periods in my life, I kept the spirit in me closed off from God. He had to jealously desire his spirit, and I didn't make it easy. Fortunately, James 4:6 says, "He gives a greater grace." I needed a greater grace. I was born to Christian parents. By the time I was 3, my father was in seminary and became a Baptist pastor. When I was 8, I went forward at a revival meeting and accepted Jesus as my Savior. Ephesians 1:13-14 describes what happened that night. "In Christ you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance." Ephesians 1:13-14. At 8, I understood the believing part, but not so much the Holy Spirit part. But thanks be to God that even though I didn't understand it all, it was still true because it took the Holy Spirit watching over me to carry me through some not so good times. After my father graduated from seminary, he started his career. We changed churches every 2 years until I was in the 7th grade. At that point, we were living in San Diego, a place that I really loved. The weather was nice, and the school I was in was perfect for me. I was beginning to come into my own, and basically, I wanted to stay in San Diego forever. But after 1 quarter in that school, we moved one more time. And this time to Toledo, Oregon, a stinking little paper mill town on the coast. And that move was pretty devastating to me. I left that fabulous school in San Diego, and I was in a small town school. The school sat on top of this hill with the paper mill smokestacks coming right on. So the school stunk too. And to make matters worse, my father became a substitute teacher and showed up in one of my classes. It was very embarrassing, although I think he did okay. My relationship with my father was difficult in junior high and high school. I put a lot of thought into that relationship when I did my inventory step 4 the first time. I have now come to see him as a strong role model for what a Christian man should be. However, when I began to think about that relationship, I had a lot of negative thoughts about my father. I pretty much blamed all of my problems on him. I didn't have similar thoughts about my mother, but of course she deserves a lot of credit too. But my father, he was an obsessive compulsive person. His favorite saying was, "A place for everything and everything in its place." A place for everything and everything in its place all the time. Everything had to be done his way. He drove me nuts. To get even, for most of my life, I've done things exactly the opposite way. I became disorganized out of spite. Once I told him, "It must be difficult to be like you." And he laughed. But now that I'm older, I'm becoming more like him. And I find it very irritating. Despite all that, I always managed to respect my father's position in the church and in the community. Preacher's kids are notoriously wild and embarrass their parents. Somehow I knew that I couldn't do that, and so I just masqueraded as a good person. But I became very sarcastic and rebellious. I was always in church, but I was also growing in the world. When I was in the 7th grade, I discovered girls in a big way, and started hiding magazines in my room. That was the beginning of a lifelong pornography habit. I began to isolate a lot. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was basically on autopilot through high school. I liked high school. It was across town, and it didn't stink most days. I got good grades and was near the top of my class. I was accepted at school, but never had friends that I hung out with. The other kids knew that I had good grades, and I got asked for help. It was okay. I made the best of it and graduated in the class of 1965. This last year was our 50th year high school reunion. I was not able to go, but I saw the pictures, and mostly they all just looked like old people. I don't know what happened to them. Anyway, as I grew up in church, I began to observe that the church was full of people that argued and complained. To me, it didn't square up with the message of the church. They were a bunch of hypocrites. So I vowed to myself that when I left home for college, I was leaving the church as well. And that's what I did. For the next 16 years, I never went to church or read the Bible. This is why I praise God for the Holy Spirit in me and watching over me. I turned my back on God, but he never turned his back on me. All that time, he was jealously desiring his Spirit that he put in me. I finally escaped home. I went to the University of Oregon, and I remember how happy I was when my mother dropped me off on campus and drove away. It never occurred to me that my mother might have been sad to be an empty nester. She might have been crying like we were when we dropped off our last daughter at college. Or she might have just said, good riddance. But as for me, it was free at last, free at last. I began to experiment with my freedom right away. I tried alcohol within a short period, and I bought magazines to hide in my room. I had no roommate. My habit was getting worse. My only restriction was that I had to go to class, a minor price to pay. I always seemed to be in a hurry. I was in a hurry to get through college. I went year-round and finished in 3 years. I met my first wife there. I had always said that I wouldn't get married until I was 30. But at age 20, I had my degree and was married. Because I hurried all the time, I had bad grades and didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I joined the Army. I got married in August of 1968, graduated in the same August, and left for the Army in January of 1969. I was in the Army for 19 months. I spent 1 year and 10 days in Vietnam. Although I was not fully aware of it, the Holy Spirit was protecting me during that time. I worked with 155 howitzers in support of forward infantry troops, and we were located on fire bases. And generally, we were back behind the fighting and didn't see too much action. However, one night, our fire base was overrun by Viet Cong sappers. Several of them were killed and were hanging in the barbed wire fences. I worked 12-hour shifts, and I came on duty at 2 a.m. I slept through the entire attack. I saw the evidence the next day, but was protected from the fear of the situation. To me, it was more like watching the news the next day. This was truly God protecting me. During my year in Vietnam, the fire bases that I had been on were overrun or shelled many times, but only after we left. I would move to the next location, and then the shelling occurred. I guess the people hated to see us leave. It was only years later that I gave glory to God for this lucky timing. After I got out of the Army, I went to graduate school to get an MBA, mostly to try and redeem myself from the bad grades I got as an undergrad. And all this time I was married. During my 19 months in the Army, I saw my wife for 10 days. My marriage was never the same. She had an affair, and I used that as an excuse for my own infidelity. And during all this, I turned more to my porn habit, but I never turned to God, and I never listened to the Holy Spirit. After 8 years, we finally divorced. About a year later, I met Maggie. Our first date was in November of 1977, and 2 months later, we got married. And we've now been married for 37 years. By 1982, we had 2 daughters. During that time, we were trying to decide what we wanted to teach our kids. We were not in the church or walking with the Lord, but we started thinking about taking the girls to church. So I wanted to know what I was getting myself into. So I bought a new Bible and began to read it to see that what the whole thing was all about, to remind myself. I hadn't been to church or opened a Bible in 16 years. So I bought a New American Standard Bible. I'd never read anything but the King James before that. And as I was reading the truth, I fell in love with the Bible and with Jesus Christ again. I came to Romans 10, 9, and 10, which says, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I realized that I had never acknowledged Jesus as Lord, even though I believed in his resurrection. I came home that night and I made my confession to Maggie that Jesus is my Lord. She believed that as well, and we began a whole new relationship with God and with his church. Over the years, we've been active in the churches where we lived, doing various ministries like teaching and missions, whatever we felt led to do. And during most of that time, I held on to my porn habit, ignoring the impact it was having on my life and on my relationship with God. So recovery. I got involved in recovery about 6 years ago because of a family member having a problem with alcohol. This came as a major shock to us, and we didn't know how to handle it. But one thing that became apparent was our own codependency. We felt a need to fix everything. But that didn't work out. The more I tried to find ways to fix things, the worse it seemed to get. I was advised to check out Al-Anon, which is for families of alcoholics. I began to go and I got very involved in leadership. I was exposed for the first time to the 12 steps, and I began to work on me. At the same time, my wife and I decided to check out Rolling Hills. And we had read about something called Celebrate Recovery. So our codependent thinking was that we would get our person to come with us and they would get fixed. I never gave much thought to fixing anything about myself. I wasn't actually thinking that there was anything to fix. Although by this time I knew that I couldn't fix the alcoholic. So I came to Celebrate Recovery in a state of confusion and denial. I didn't really know why I was there. But I jumped in and started attending the General Issues and Codependency Group. I like Celebrate Recovery because of the worship time and because of the testimonies, which have had a major impact on me. One of the testimonies was by a guy who discusses pornography addiction. Yikes. I was convicted by that testimony that I needed to work on this as well. So I made up my mind to switch groups and started attending the men's sexual addictions group. For the first time in over 50 years of my habit, I said out loud to a group of guys that I had a problem with porn. It was freeing to be able to share that and hear of how others had the same issue. For me, pornography was a habit and an addiction. It has a similar effect on the brain as alcohol and drugs. The more you do it, the more you need it, and it's difficult to quit. It led to a secret other life. It affected my relationship with my wife, both physically and emotionally. I was always thinking about how to carve out time for my habit and always concerned about being found out. And it consumed a ton of time that could have been used for productive things. So that first night in a small group was the beginning of a journey towards change and freedom. In addition to the small group, I went to my first step study. It had huge growth from I got huge growth from digging deeper into the steps again. This time, the same 12 steps that I had been seeing before was now put into a Christ-centered context. As a result of the step study and the small group, God has taken away my addiction to porn and given me freedom. I confessed my addiction to my wife and made amends. Our relationship has grown stronger as a result. Our physical relationship has gotten better. She is a partner in my recovery, and there is no longer a secret life to guard. Praise God. So how the eight principles affected me. The first principle that impacted me was principle 7. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. We read all those principles every Wednesday night, the Beatitudes. When I was just jumping into CR, I thought that principle 7 would be easy. I could jump into that by myself right away. So I Googled Bible reading plans and downloaded a 2-year plan that covered the New Testament and the Psalms twice and the Old Testament once. I started that in October of 2012 and have only missed several days since then. I highly recommend this to everyone. When you read the Bible like this, you read all of it. In the Celebrate Recovery lessons, there are about 200 Bible verses that are used. There are over 30,000 verses in the Bible. So if you're relying on, I love the CR lessons and those verses, but if you're relying on CR for your Bible reading, you will cover 0.6% of the Bible. If you cover the whole Bible in 2 years, you would need to read about 42 verses per day. I know it's very analytical. But that takes less than 15 minutes a day, and it's a small enough reading that you can think about it during the day. The other thing about reading straight through is all of the interesting things you discover. Most of these things do not show up in those 200 verses in CR. For example, I read this in 1 Kings 11:22, which is talking about Solomon and his riches. It says, "For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and monkeys." How fascinating, apes and monkeys. So that level of detail in the Bible is one form of the evidence of its accuracy. That's not one of the 200 CR verses. Although we do have our apes and monkeys. It's rarely quoted in any sermon. Anyway, I love the Bible. We all need to read all of it. I also started learning how to pray from Principle 7. I didn't really know how to pray. I read some books, but mostly I just had to practice. I used the Lord's Prayer as a pattern, but just basically talking to God and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I used a verse that I had just read to pray it back to God as a promise. These things have given me huge growth in my Christian walk. Another key principle is principle 1, which says, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. This was an important step for me. At first I thought, well, that's obvious. I'm not God. Of course, I'm not God. But then I started to think about the things in my life that I didn't want God involved in, things that I could handle myself. So I had to come to the conclusion that maybe I am being God on those things. And realizing that I was not God was the first step to doing principle 3, which says, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. I learned that I can give everything to Christ. I don't need to have control if He has it for me. I still have to remind myself of this all the time. Inside of me is something that wants to take control again. Fortunately, also inside of me is the Holy Spirit that is Christ's helper. Walking with the Spirit in control produces much better results than when I take control. So what's new with me? Because of working these principles with the help of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, a lot has changed in my life. As I mentioned, I have victory over my habit. God has helped me to screen out the things which hurt me. My desire for things of the world has changed into a desire for closeness to God. I have begun to experience the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Two things on the list are joy and self-control. God has given me joy when I at least expected it. And He's given me self-control. I never thought that I could have self-control until I realized that it comes from the Holy Spirit, not from my efforts. When I observe self-control in myself now, I feel closeness to God, who surprises me with doses of self-control that I never saw coming. My relationship with my wife, daughters, and grandchildren has become much sweeter as a result of working the Celebrate Recovery steps. I realize that I don't need to be in control of relationships to make them work. I just have to get out of the way and let Christ work in me. Christ helps me to say, "Yes, dear," even when I don't feel it. So, to the newcomer, Principle 8 says, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Certainly, it's an ongoing effort to yield myself to God, and I'm always evaluating my example and my words. To be honest, it's not easy talking about pornography. I wish that I could talk about something else. But the good news is this. God gives me the strength to share this with you. I share it in hopes that if you are a newcomer, something you've heard in my story will encourage you to continue with your journey. I give that hope to Christ. If you don't know where to start, jump in on Principle 7. But I encourage you to jump into all 8 principles and test them out. Open your Bible more, pray more often, get in a small group and do a step study. Keep coming back and you will see change and growth. Thank you for letting me share.